read through this.
Yeah, another lie from Democrats. Or, well, I'll tell you, it's been a crazy time, hasn't it? Yeah. It's been a time like none other that I've lived through. I mean, the wrangling just is like out of sight. And the height of what they will agree to oppose, like Trump or whoever, is unbelievable. It is really unbelievable. Yes. Yeah. Well, they asked him what he would have done different if he could go back and do it again, and he said he would have been more gentle. That's kind of an interesting one. It kind of tells me that God's doing something in his heart, you know. But, you know, you got to also admit that he don't get a fair shake from the press, so unless he does something, it isn't going to get answered. So, yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, I do ask the Lord on a regular basis to help him choose right wording on things. That's more proper. Yes. That's right. All right. I think that they're really just, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And make no mistake about it, they're definitely trying to push us fast track toward more killing of innocent lives. And they're making it just very obvious that they don't even care if the baby is accidentally born alive. Go ahead and kill it then. And even that, you know, goes strictly against even the way the law is recognized now. And they're just saying it unashamedly. They don't care. And so it does. It reveals. Well, here, I'll give you a praise before we get into this. We read yesterday, Shelley was reading about, in Illinois, they were proposing a bunch of that really radical legislation like they're doing, you know, to help promote more abortion and without limits. And they had so many people come to the Capitol building that they had to shut it down. They literally had to shut the Capitol building down in Illinois because so many pro-lifers came out and said, no, you know, we're not for that. You're not representing us. And that's not right. And so praise God, because I tell you, before New York did what they did, it didn't matter how much that the pro-life groups tried to wake everybody up. It's really hard to wake people up. They're like, oh, well, let somebody else do it. Oh, well, let somebody else do it. You know? And we've all been guilty of that. But I think New York said, we better quit waiting for somebody else to do it. We better start doing it ourselves. Because we're not for that. That's, you know, that's ridiculous. And I'll tell you, when we get to the point that state governors say, if you're a conservative Christian that doesn't believe in homosexuality or abortion, you're not welcome in our state, I really think something needs to be done. I really do. That's not right. That's not okay. You know, he's saying that if people are Christians, like, and you live by Christianity, then you're not welcome in New York State. That's nonsense. I think he, you know, really needs to be on his way out. Because you talk about discrimination, now that is discrimination. And so, nonetheless, you know, we just need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to continue to pray. We need to continue to believe. We've been praying that God would be opening people's eyes. And, you know, can you imagine, like, they've been trying to make this movie Unplanned now for several years. You know, they've been working on this. I've heard about it for a while. And Abby Johnson's been saying in a lot of her meetings that she's been working on a movie with some producers, and it's going to be a good one. And it comes out the very year in time that all of this controversy is going on. You know, God, that's not an accident. God's doing it. Yes, Joe? No. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and look in Jeremiah chapter 26, and we're going to start at verse 20, and we're going to read through that again. It says, now there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord. Now, we had a lot of false prophets, right? We've learned that in Jeremiah. There were a lot of false prophets. 26:20. And that his name was Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. Okay? So, did we all hear that? This guy was actually hearing from the Lord. Okay? This guy wasn't a false prophet. He was a true prophet in the same likeness as what Jeremiah was doing. And so, do y'all remember what God told Jeremiah? That if he stuck with him and he didn't soften the message, that God would protect Jeremiah, right? He wouldn't let him kill him. Do you know what they've done to most of the prophets along the way? They've killed them. When they didn't like what they said, eventually they got tired of it and they would have them killed. And I believe tradition is that Isaiah, the prophet, they sawed him in two while he was alive. Can you imagine? What a horrible death. So like God says, okay, you're my prophet. You're going to say what I have to say and you're going to go out and do this. I'm going to put my spirit upon you. And you're sitting over there thinking, oh God, I mean, I've seen what they've done to all the rest of them. Okay, so now we've got Urijah here. And I wanted us to take a little better look at this because I want you to know God's promises are good. God's promises are true. God's promises will be true no matter what the popular opinion is, no matter what other things might happen to other people and different situations. Okay, but God promised to Jeremiah that if he stick with them, he wouldn't let anything come against him that would kill him. And so now we've got this guy Urijah, who's a true prophet as well. So let's read verse 21. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words. Now, who was Jehoiakim again? Who is he the son of? Does anybody know? Josiah. Okay. Was Josiah a good king? He was a great king, wasn't he? He started to reign when he was 8, 16. He started to seek the Lord. In his 20s, he began to cleanse the land of all of the idols and all that stuff. Okay, now his son, on the other hand, that's who it's talking about right here. And let's see what he has to say, because like his son would have to be a good guy too, right? No. This kind of proves that God doesn't have grandchildren. You're either a child of God or you're not. You don't ride in on your parents' coattails on this. Your parents can be the godliest people in the world. But you yourself, every one of us has to make that decision to follow the Lord, right? You have to seek the Lord on your own. So we'll reread verse 21. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. Okay, now, what did God tell Jeremiah to do? No matter what they did, you keep speaking my truth, right? So at no time did God ever tell Jeremiah, if they come after you, flee. Go somewhere else. Now, flee into Egypt. I'm just going to tell you, that's never worked out good for any of them that did that, except for Jesus when he was commanded to do it, right? But now God did not command, he did not command Jeremiah to do this, and I don't necessarily think it was the right thing for Urijah to do it. Maybe I'm reading outside the lines just a little bit, but I know it don't turn out very well for him. Brother Bill, you have something you wanted to? Egypt always got him in trouble, didn't they? It was like doing it in the flesh is what Egypt represents. Yeah. It does kind of seem like it, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if Jeremiah would have ran off with Urijah, I think the same thing would have happened to Jeremiah. And we would have lost the voice who writes the book. Because this was actually early in the ministry of Jeremiah as well. Even though this is chapter 26, remember I was showing you that we're actually going back in time right now and looking at the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry is what's happening. Yeah, exactly. So this guy is Jeremiah's friend. He's his only, one of his only friends. Jeremiah didn't have a lot of people who were agreeing with him at this time. In fact, he's preaching a message which is so unpopular. He's saying, Babylon's going to come and destroy us. You actually need to, like, go along with them. Now, can you imagine being the guy in the United States to say, Iran is going to destroy the United States, and when they show up, you guys all need to go ahead and go with them. How do you think that'd go over? You think I'd have a whole lot of friends if that was my message? But if that's what God told me to say, that would be what I need to say. So we do have a message sort of like that. Do you all believe that God is going to discipline and possibly destroy America as we know it if we don't stop killing our babies? I believe he's going to do it. And so do you think that's a popular message? Not necessarily. But I think it's a necessary message because I think it's the truth. And I think that we see it in this book. So we need to do what God says, okay, individually and collectively. All right, so now we've got Urijah. He heard it. He was afraid and fled, verse 21, and went to Egypt. Verse 22, then Jehoiakim the king sent men to Egypt, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and other men who went with him to Egypt. And they brought Urijah from Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim the king, who killed him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Okay, do you think Jeremiah heard about this? Everybody heard about it, don't you think? Jeremiah heard about this. What do you think Jeremiah was thinking? They're coming for me next. So what do you do when you think they might be coming for you? You better do what God said. That better be our choice. If we'll do what God says, God will protect us. He has the power. He has the ability. He doesn't lie. He is able. And so it says, nevertheless, the hand of Jehoiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, so that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, we'll just roll right on into chapter 27, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck. And send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them to say to their masters, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. There we go again. God reminding us that he's the one who created everything. Have you noticed that over and over and over again? We just keep seeing that. So why is God saying, okay, make this yoke, send one to this king, send one to that king, send one to that king, give one to your king, and have one ready for the future king, Zedekiah. Okay? You have all these ready, and then you qualify it, thus says the Lord, who made all of you, and who gives the power to whom I wish. I'm going to tell you, and the reason why he's saying this is because he's saying, I have the authority. I have the authority. Not kings of the earth, no matter how powerful they may seem. Not even to the ones who have been blessed, anointed by God to rule even his very own people. If God decides that it's time for them to serve someone else, he can do it. Because he has the authority, because he's the creator. And so why do you think that the world is insisting that God didn't create the heavens and the earth, and they're insisting on an older earth, and they're insisting on evolution as being our creator? Why do you think they're doing that? They don't have to submit to God. They're hoping that if they talk loud enough, long enough, maybe this God thing will just go away, because he makes us feel uncomfortable with what we're doing. So how do you think that people can treat each other so horribly, like we've heard about it in Thailand? And I mean, that's the only place that's going on. It's happening right here in the United States too. Okay, so how do you think people can come to the place that they would treat another person that horribly? Why do you think Adolf Hitler felt like he could treat another whole group of people so horribly? They think they're the authority. Thank you. That is exactly what's going on. Adolf Hitler was probably one of your best examples of believing in evolution. He was actually trying to make a cleansed human race, the Aryan race, that would be the most powerful. He was going to eliminate everybody else and only allow this one type of people to survive. And it went against all reason. It was crazy. But I can tell you, it's the ultimate outcome of that worldview. Why would Joseph Stalin do what he did to his people? Do you realize how many people he killed? Cold-bloodedly, and it's his own people. Mao in China? Same thing. More, I think, than even Stalin did. What kind of a worldview would do that? A worldview that believes in evolution and, hey, I made it to the top and now you're under me and I'm going to do what I want. And I'll tell you exactly what happens to cause a person to get there. You can look at Stalin. You can look at Hitler. You can look at Nietzsche. You can look at Marx, Karl Marx. Guys, all of these people were raised around Christianity. And they were confronted, warned, I believe, by God, and they rejected him. And you know what happened in this situation right here that we're reading about? They were confronted and warned by God, and they rejected him. If we reject God at his warning on a personal level, we will get given over to our own fleshly desires. Yeah, and at reprobate mind. If we do it on a societal level, God will give the entire society over to a great delusion and a reprobate mind. And we know that in the end it's going to happen in a large, widespread way. But until we are just completely given over, I think we need to fight spiritually with everything we got to call people to repentance so that it doesn't just become like this set in stone, done deal. Does any of us want to just give up on the United States and give up on our nation full of people and give up on the millions of people that live here? No. And so the answer is to continue to preach God's truth. Continue to show people this is what God's done in the past. Continue to remind people God is the one who created us. You know, I was with my mentor, the kid that I mentor, and, you know, I reminded him that God loved him, and he said, well, how do you know that? And I said, because he created us, and he gave us life, and he wants us to be, you know, he wants us to be with him. He wants us to be like him. Well, how do you know that he loves us? And I said, because the Bible says so. And you know, we can look at ourselves and see that whole evolution thing is crazy. It's nuts. It takes so much more faith to believe in that. Really? And the reason why, you know, I'm camping out on that because I'm telling you that's where we started losing the battle. Whenever we let them take over the school and say, you're not going to teach that God created things anymore, we started losing the battle right there. We have got to go back. The only chance we have of getting on a straight course is to start teaching people that God created us just like he said he did. Because that's what God says. And that's where he claims his authority is as creator. Do you know that they actually have a bill right now in the Missouri legislature to begin to allow teaching the Bible in schools as an elective again? I say, praise the Lord. Let's pray that that thing passes and then it continues to grow. It's high time. It is the only chance that we really have of reclaiming a society of people. God's Word is that power to do that. God's Spirit through His Word. It needs to happen that all people would have an opportunity to see it. And so, you know, we can't force them. And God couldn't force them, and nor did He attempt to force them. He sent His prophets with the information. They killed one of them. Now the other one's going to continue to prophesy. And you know what? They weren't allowed to kill him. And they threw him in a well. You know, we'll read about that later. But God sent some kind people to come in, one man in particular, to help rescue him. He was very kind to him. He made the ropes soft so that they wouldn't hurt Jeremiah at this point. You know, I mean, what we got to know is if God commands us to stand, we can stand. We can stand in His power. God will make sure that we do. Okay, not everybody was happy that we marched through St. Louis yesterday. Newsflash. We went right down Market Street, too. You know, that's where they have the different bars and stuff there by the ballpark and whatnot. And I mean, we went right down past the eating establishments and everything, when people with signs and a band playing drums. I mean, like, we woke up the city walking down through there. And it's okay that that some of the people were not that thrilled. You saw how many Obama bumper stickers there were during the election, how many Hillary bumper stickers there were in the next election, all over St. Louis. It's a very liberal place. The darkness needs the light present. That's what dispels the darkness. And it was an awesome day. So I encourage us, continue to be that light. And so what is it that God does to claim that authority? He says, I have made the earth. Verse 5, the man and the beast that are on the ground by my great power, by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. He didn't ask for our permission. He didn't ask for anybody else's opinions. He does what's right every time. And he says, and now I have given all these lands. You remember the lands he said to send the yokes to? Build these yokes, send them to these different places. Okay, first Jehoiakim, and then he wanted him to send Edom. Who is Edom? Does anybody remember where that land came from? Esau. Yeah, that was Jacob's brother, right? To the king of Moab. Does anybody know where Moab came from? Lot. One of Lot's children. Oh, I almost hated the way that sounded. Yeah, by his daughter. Yeah. And the king of the Ammonites. Yeah, there we got it again, right? And the king of Tyre. And the king of Sidon. Now I'm going to ask you, had those places existed for a little while? These were established like just after the time of Abraham, right? Abraham and Lot. And even before that for Edom. And yet, God said, they're on the wrong side of history right now, folks. They haven't followed me. You know, even though Esau lost his birthright, do you know he still could have agreed to serve alongside of Jacob, his brother? He could have agreed to go with God. And I don't think this would have had to ended up being his end. He could have agreed with God and done what God gave him opportunity to do. But no, he wept and almost demanded his right back. He should have repented is what he should have done. Repentance is a surrender and a submission to God. But he didn't. And so now it's saying, I have given them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field I have also given him to serve him. So all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son. How many years were they going away for? 70 years, right? 70 years. Until the time of his land comes, and then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation in the kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. One word comes to me on that whenever I think about what one word would describe what you would have to do to yourself to put yourself under a king of an enemy nation like that?
Humility.
You would have to humble yourself. You would have to put all pride away. You would, I mean, literally, to say, okay, I go serve Nebuchadnezzar. But I'm going to tell you, anybody that didn't do it, as we read the rest of the story, you're going to find out God did exactly to him what he said he was going to do. Anybody that didn't agree and go along with serving, because it was time for them to serve, right? God has established it. God has said it by his authority. He has laid it out. They didn't repent the last time they had a chance. And now the judgment has come. Now, if they would have repented, it would have been a different story, right? He continued to give them opportunity. I praise God that we are still in the chance, have the chance to repent right now. But I don't know that we're going to continue to have a whole lot more opportunities. I mean, you can see, guys, I'm just going to tell you, this ain't cool that they're putting Muslims in our House of Representatives right now. This ain't cool. I'm just going to tell you, look at Kenya. They're not even a very large percentage of Kenya's parliament, but they wreak havoc. There's been a lot of problems in Kenya because of a 10% of their population. It was like 7 to 10% of their population and about the same of their parliament. Yes? And buddy, she ain't backing down. Mm-hmm. She's not backing down at all. And Israel. Yeah. Connection to Israel. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, Somalia is one of the most brutal Muslim countries on earth. It's horrible. It's horrible what they've done. The way that they see things is completely different than what we do. And they have absolutely no tolerance. And I'm going to tell you what they do to homosexuals in those types of countries. They kill them on sight. Horrible, horrible deaths. And I just read today that she was actually speaking in support of an LGBTQ group. And I'm just going to tell you, she will use them to get reelected. And then, whenever the time comes that they have the power, they will be the first ones to destroy that group. And anybody that thinks that they're going to be tolerant, she has never denounced Islam. She still wears her head covering. She is making a statement. They had to change the rules in the United States Congress so that she could wear it. And I'm just going to tell you, this is not good. This is the beginning of a trend that is not going in the right direction. And so God's saying, repent now, United States. Or I'm going to say, judgment is around the corner. We've only seen the tip of the iceberg. And you know, the Democrats had a chance to censure her, to say, you need to apologize. And they met together and they came out and said, we will not apologize. We will not apologize for her remarks. And they asked her, are you an anti-Semite? She wouldn't even answer the question. I'll tell you why she won't answer the question. Because she absolutely is, without a doubt. And we have got her sitting in one of our prestigious areas of representation of our country on the Foreign Policy Committee. Now, I'm just going to tell you guys, that ain't good. I'm sounding the alarm not to say, let's get her out of there. I'm sounding the alarm to say, we better repent of the things we're doing or God's going to give us over. Yeah. Who flew those planes into those towers? Islam did. Islam did that. I'm going to tell you. Those guys were true believers. We had way more faith in Islam than most Christians sitting in the Christian churches today. Because they're willing to give their life for it. And I'm going to tell you, they're all over the world ready to pounce on the United States. Absolutely. And they had a very good plan, too. They actually wanted to have it done by 2020, and they haven't made it. But I'll tell you, they're close. They are infiltrating our government right now. And the last president that we elected to two terms was doing his best to get as many of them in there as he could. Kerr was his best friend, and that's who she was just announcing that she connected with. And this Council for Islamic Relations. And so we've got to understand something. God is the only one who can save us from this hour. And I think the number one thing we need to do is start honoring life. So Christians, pray hard. Fight the spiritual battle hard right now. Make your voices be heard. Fill that theater down there, that outdoor theater on Thursday. Pray for good weather that we can continue on. There's been a great effort put into having that available to everybody for free. We talked about it, and we said we don't want to have to charge anybody anything because we don't want anybody discouraged from coming. We don't want anybody to have an excuse. We want everybody who wants to go to that movie to be able to go. Now we need to get the news out to them. I've got more flyers back there on the table. So if you think of anybody to give a flyer to or put it up in a public place, take it. Take some. Give them away. I'll print more if we need more. But we need to do what we can because I believe this is a very important time in history. And I don't say that to depress us. I say that to excite you. I believe that this is a time that we could actually see abortion finally brought to be a bad memory. That we could actually see it made illegal. The first step is to have Roe v. Wade turned over. The second step is to make it a civil right of life. And it is. And you know it is. And we all know it is. It's the number one civil right. Without that one, you don't have other civil rights. Once they make it a civil right, every state will have to adhere to that law. That's why they're trying to make gay marriage a civil right. Because as soon as they do, every state will have to adhere to their laws. That's why they're trying to make the transgendered thing a civil right. You see what I'm saying? So let's play it the other way, and let's make the right to life a civil right, because we know it is. It's been given by God, the one who created everything. Talk to people about it. Say, remind them that we're created. Don't be afraid. Yeah, it's the most intelligent people in the world, the ones that get all the great degrees and the PhDs and all that stuff. Have you ever seen them whenever somebody really tries to pin them down to where does the original life come from? They can't do it. They look like bumbling fools. Do not be afraid. You have the truth. You are smarter than a person with a PhD that believes in evolution wholeheartedly. You are smarter than they are because you have this word and you believe it. You're on God's side. God is smarter than all of us put together. Whenever you believe this and you speak it, I'm telling you, they can't kill you. You're like Superman or Superwoman. No one can touch you. They killed this other dude, but they didn't kill. They did not kill Jeremiah. Jeremiah stood with God and God kept his promise to him. And I can assure you, they can't touch you either. Absolutely. They present Christ to these, to all, everybody. We ain't the ones to judge who will listen and who won't. Because I'm going to tell you, some of the Muslim folks are having visions that a lot of other folks are not having. God is reaching out to them in an unusual way. He wants us to be the ones to say, hey, have you ever heard of Jesus? And I'll tell you what happens a lot of times in these accounts. They've already had a vision and they're wondering who he is. And whenever you say something to them, I mean, we've had this experience, some of our Southern Baptist missionaries, Brother Rick Hedger. You guys have all met Rick. Rick and his son went over to Senegal, and there was a man that had wandered for more than a year around looking for someone who could explain to him who that was he had a vision of. And he had just made it back to his village after a year of wandering around that area of Africa looking for somebody to be able to tell him. And guess who showed up in his village that day? And guess who got permission to stay? They actually camped in tents outside of this village so that they would be there the next day to present it to the council who owned the village. You know, they have village tribal leaders, and they gave them permission to stay there. Now, that'd have been scary staying there, guys, because these guys are kind of radical sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, they believe God brought them there, and they believe they were there for a reason. And on that next day, after they stayed overnight, this guy come wandering back into town. And guess what? He was related. He was the son to the tribal leader. And so he comes walking into town, and he goes, well, you know, what are you guys doing here? We're here to tell you a story. And they have a fire. They're sitting around the campfire, and they start telling this guy. He begins to weep. He said, I have been wandering for over a year looking for someone to tell me this, who this Jesus is. And here they were, come all the way from Missouri. All I got to say is, guys, all we need to do is be faithful. God's heart is to win people. We know that. He just wants to use us, but we got to open our mouths whenever we get a chance. Part of opening our mouth is to say some things that sometimes people don't want to hear. But, you know, they need to be confronted with the truth. We had a couple people react negatively yesterday. Shelly said she didn't see them. That's good. I was smiling at everybody, too, and I waved at some of the people. And you know what I thought? All those people that ignored us might not have got as much out of it as that person who gave us a bad sign. That may have been the person that was impacted the most. So they were feeling really stirred by it, and maybe they went home and thought about it, and maybe God said, you know what? They're right. And you notice they didn't act hateful to you. The guy, that young man that Shelly's talking about, Brad, I think is his name, is that right? And we've seen him up there before. He's been one of the sidewalk counselors for a long time, about 5 years. He's been going up there, just a young guy. And this was the year that he's going to seminary. And so he had to get off of that Coalition for Life team because he's not going to have time to be up there as often. Well, he was telling us about how one of the escorts from Planned Parenthood had actually testified against the sidewalk counselors in court because they were trying to make the safe room, the safe space, that would have moved them to the other side of the street. Well, now, what good would they be over there, you know? So, anyway, they had to go to court over it, and this young lady said, well, they always pick these nice-looking young guys to try to coerce and, nice-looking white guys. These young white guys to try to coerce these women away from getting abortions. And so she was being pretty derogatory about these guys. But anyway, they wound up meeting face to face out there on each side of the fence one day. And so she said, you know what you guys are doing is a good thing? Ain't that weird? That's what he said. Whoa, that was weird. And she said, you know, if all the pro-life people were like you, I'd be on the other side of that fence. And he goes, well, we are. So come on over. What are you doing over there, you crazy escort? And so she actually came out and he gave her a hug. And he went on to talk to her. And he was saying, guys, we don't have to be all up in arms and angry. What we really need to do is engage people. And he says, sometimes you're going to say things to them and they're going to act hateful. It's because they're scared. That's what we got to understand. It's mainly because they're scared. They act all tough, but they're really scared on the inside. And so we need to perceive it properly, and we need to show them love. And this guy, you just have to meet him, man. I'm telling you, he's just like, I hope when I grow up I could be like him. He's just really, he's got this warm smile that's just, you know, he's just real loving. And I mean, you know, what he said was really true. And he told this to the whole group right before we marched through St. Louis. He's reminding us, we need to love these other people, man. We really do need to love them in Jesus' name. That's what will change their hearts. And I am so thankful that we live in this time right now. We see this happening. This is what we've been praying for. Yes, Shelly?
I know, isn't that awesome?
So we need to be brave in God. We need to be brave in Christ. We need to be bold enough that we might take a chance that they might get a little mad at us. But let's keep loving them. Let's keep being loving. I tell you, that was such an uplift to me, too, to see Ben's brother Gabe there. I mean, that just blessed my heart. Come walking up, and he goes, hey, John, how you doing? He's just a new Christian. He's just a baby Christian. But he's stepping out on faith. You know what I'm saying? And God's meeting him there, and he's helping him to grow. I mean, how exciting is that? That is so cool. And so we really just need to continue to Just be bold with the gospel and bold to love. I'll never forget that meeting I had with those Iranian or Iraqi people. You know, Rebecca was with me. I like going out with her because she's so warm and friendly. People trust me whenever I walk up and I got Rebecca with me. When we went up there and started talking to those folks, and I mean, before we were done, literally, the girl had tears in her eyes because we cared enough to talk to them. She said, most people are afraid of us because of the way we look. Guys, we don't have to be fearful. We got God. You know? They weren't real radical Muslims. They were the kind who were Muslim because that's what they grew up in. That's what their parents were. They actually had a Catholic outreach mission close to them. And they remembered seeing the cross out there. And those people did good things for their community. That's all they really knew about Christianity. And whenever I explained to them about the forgiveness of Christ, it meant something. And I mean, really. And whenever I talked to her about forgiving even ISIS, that blew her away. And whenever I said, God forgives us through Christ no matter what we've done, she said, really? And I said, yes, ma'am. Jesus paid for it. We just need to trust him. You know, it's okay. We need to engage in conversation and just see where God will lead it. I know it's scary. It was scary to me. I sit there and think, really, God? You really want me to go over there? He said, hey, you got Becca. She's fearless. Let's do it. So, anyway, I invited him to dinner. I said, if you're ever down by Washington State Park, and I said, by the way, it's one of the number one parks in Missouri. So if you guys come down to Washington State Park, here's my telephone number. I want you to come to my house for dinner. They haven't. I really prayed they would. I think it'd be awesome. So, we need to engage people, right? That's what our dear brother John's doing in Thailand. He's just getting involved in people's lives, and he's just trying to reach out to them. You know? And that's what we need to do right here in Cadet. Just keep doing it. God's doing something. Anybody have anything else before we pray?